The Holy Gospel according to St. Matthew, the 15th chapter.
Glory to you, O Lord.
Jesus called the crowd to him and said to them, "Listen and understand. It is not what goes into the mouth that defiles a person, but it is what comes out of the mouth that defiles." Then the disciples approached and said to him, "Do you know that the Pharisees took offense when they heard what you said?" He said, "Every plant that my heavenly Father has not planted will be uprooted. Let them alone. They are blind guides of the blind. And if one blind person guides another, both will fall into a pit." But Peter said to him, "Explain this parable to us." Then he said, "Are you still without understanding? Do you not see that whatever goes into the mouth enters the stomach and then goes into the sewer? But what comes out of the mouth proceeds from the heart. And that is what defiles. For out of the heart comes evil intentions, murder, adultery, fornication, theft, false witness, slander. These are what defile a person, but to eat with unwashed hands does not defile." Jesus left that place and went away to the district of Tyre and Sidon. Just then a Canaanite woman from that region came out and started shouting, "Have mercy on me, Lord, Son of David. My daughter is tormented by a demon." But he did not answer her at all, and his disciples came and urged him, saying, "Send her away, for she keeps shouting after us." He answered, "I was sent only to the lost sheep of the house of Israel." But she came and knelt before him, saying, "Lord, help me." He answered, "It's not fair to take the children's food and throw it to the dogs." She said, "Yes, Lord, yet even the dogs eat the crumbs that fall from their master's table." Then Jesus answered her, "Woman, great is your faith. Let it be done for you as you wish." And her daughter was healed instantly. This is the gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, O Christ.
Please be seated. Grace, mercy, and peace are yours from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus, who is the Christ. Amen. Well, this has been a very difficult week. Let's just name it right out loud right here. Let's just say that we saw Nazi flags in our streets. The people flying those flags were not play acting. They were not pretending anything at all. They were interviewed, and they said they fully expect more people to die before all of this is over, and that they cleanse everyone out of this country who is not white. Some deaths did occur that day. Heather Heyer died when she was intentionally struck by a car. Trooper Pilot Burke M.M. Bates and Pilot Lieutenant H.J. Cullen were killed in a helicopter that was monitoring the events of the protest and the counter-protest. But I think another death occurred this week, too. I think the possibility of us saying that our country is past racism died this week. Before this week, we could maybe make the point, we could maybe just point to people in our lives, people of color, our doctors and our attorneys, in positions of power in our community and in our schools. Our neighborhood schools here are very diverse. We elected a black man as president twice. Before this week, we could look around and say, yes, we have a long way to go. Maybe we have more growth to achieve, but we're kind of past a tipping point. And I pray that's true. Then real hate marched in our streets without hoods, quoting Hitler and using the Hitler salute and flying the Nazi flag and saying out loud, "We intend to kill people to cleanse this country." And here's how we know that we're still in a lot of trouble with regard to race in our country. There were many and varied responses. to the display of hatred in our streets. People didn't really know how to respond. That's just an honest assessment. We have the right to speak in our country, even hateful words. We have the right to speak. We have the right to an opinion that opposes the person across the street from us. We have the right to assemble. We have the right to have, we have monuments to our history that some people want preserved and some people want torn down and some people would like a minute to think about it. Do we want to preserve our history? Is that preserving our history? What history are we preserving? Is the good, bad, and ugly of all history worth preserving? I personally would like to take a minute to think about this. It's complicated, and it's simple. We cannot defend hate. Some people can, I suppose, but we cannot. In the shadow of the cross of the man who received all the hate the world could offer and responded with mercy and responded with love, we can't defend hate. And let's also say right here, because I don't know what your minds are doing when I'm talking about this issue that's been in the news and on Facebook and all of the fighting that maybe you have experienced this week on any side of the issue. Let's say right here, this is not a Democrat and Republican thing. People on the streets and leaders in both parties have condemned this hate as it should be. And if we have, each one of us, have made the other political party out to be some two-dimensional caricature that you can throw in a box and you think you completely understand and you get to dismiss, then we have some humility work to do. We have something to learn, not the least of which is love. We cannot defend hate. And if my mentioning this issue, which is our issue, it's ours to manage, it's our land, it affects all of us, if my mentioning it here in the pulpit is causing you to hate someone, maybe me for mentioning it here in the pulpit, then we'll just have to keep asking Jesus to help us love one another. And this is why I am so grateful for Paul's words this week. Jackie just read to us, Paul says that we are all disobedient and we all receive mercy. We are all in this disobedience boat together. And we are all, as we say, captive to sin and cannot free ourselves. And yet, our God is merciful. You know, I have said this before, and I will keep repeating it because it blows me away sometimes. The lectionary, which is the calendar of texts, they give us the text for the Sunday each week. I don't choose the texts. The lectionary, which was put together hundreds of years ago and last edited a little more than 30 years ago, the lectionary, this calendar of texts, has a miraculous way of bringing us just what we need when we need it. It sits there unchanging in this changing world, and we turn to it, and it serves us well. Today we get Paul mentioning, reminding us that we are all in this same disobedience boat together, and that God is about the business of being merciful to everyone in the boat. And in our Isaiah text that Jackie read, the Lord says, "Foreigners will come to me, and I will welcome them at my altar." That might sound innocuous to us today, but this is the God of Israel. The God who claimed Israel as a special people and gave them laws and an identity. They knew they were Israelites, not anything else. Right? They weren't Philistines and Assyrians and Egyptians and Babylonians by geographical ethnicity, but they were not. They were a people. They had a boundary around them. They were the Israelites. They were God's chosen people. And the God of this special chosen claimed people with specific ways of life who said, I will be your God and you will be my people, which feels very insular, right? This is a group and a God. The God of Israel says in Isaiah, we heard today, people of all nations will come to me and I will receive them at my altar. And the psalmist who wrote Psalm 67, which was in the lectionary, but we didn't read it out loud today because we sang a hymn that quotes it. But the psalm goes this way. May God be merciful to us and bless us. May the light of God's face shine upon us. Let your way be known upon earth, and saving health among all nations. Let the peoples praise you, O God. Let all the peoples praise you. Let the nations be glad and sing for joy. For you judge the peoples with equity and give all the nations and guide all the nations in the earth. All the nations, not just Israel. That's the song the psalmist wrote. Bring everyone in, Lord. For you judge everyone with equity, equality, and guide all the nations of the earth. And then we get this incredibly difficult gospel text where Jesus and this Canaanite woman have this conversation and she wants her daughter to be healed and he calls her a dog. 3 years ago when this text came up, I remember preaching about the possibility that Jesus might have been saying these things to his disciples to teach them a lesson in front of her. And in many pulpits today, people will be sort of tackling the question, is it possible for Jesus to learn, change his mind and learn and become more merciful? On the face of it, anyway, Jesus is very rude to her. He says, I didn't come for you, I came for the house of Israel. And then she persists, and he says, well, it's not good to give the children's food to the dogs. And she persists and says, even the dogs get to eat the crumbs. So on the surface, it seems that he's being rude, and maybe when we dig in, it still seems like he's being rude. But she persists in demanding healing for her daughter, and Jesus not only changes his mind, but praises her faith and heals her daughter immediately. Can the one through whom all things were made forget his divinity for a bit and get caught up in the meanness of our ways? Is that possible? Some people wrestle with that question. There's a lot to wonder about in this text. I said to Dr. Catherine Shaner this week, there are about 8 sermons in this text, but every one of us has to choose one. So today I want us to look at the very end of the text that we are given. The end of the story after all of the discussion and the words we have spent centuries discussing and questioning. This is the end of our text today. Then Jesus answered her, Woman, great is your faith. Let it be done for you as you wish. And her daughter was healed instantly. The Lord of all that is, seen and unseen, says to a woman who has just demanded something from him, let it be done for you as you wish. What kind of relationship do we have with God? What kind of a relationship is a God who says, you can badger me and I can speak to you this way, and in the end, there is mercy and healing. A merciful one. A generous one. A God who gathers all people in. And frankly, our God seeks after those who don't come to him. All the nations shall come to him, and we are all in this same boat, receivers of mercy. This is the story of our salvation. This is the story of our present times. The God of mercy reigns. The God of mercy reigns while there are Nazi flags flying. Our God of mercy reigns. And of course, God said, I will be your God, and you will be my people. So therefore, mercy is our practice. Mercy is our creed. Mercy is our chant. The cross is the symbol of our salvation, and it is a cross of mercy. We are people of mercy from generation to generation to generation, as long as God has been God and we have been God's people. Mercy is in us. May it, in these times, also flow through us. Amen.